Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
January 5th, 2025. Let's continue. Vision for the future rebuilding. Vision for future rebuilding. My message today is purposefully put vision into action. And I open this service with Isaiah 43. And those that were here at 9, you heard Isaiah 43, 1 to 9. Here it is now, Isaiah 43, 18 to 25. But forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in dry wasteland. Are you going to be prepared this year to watch what God is going to do? Are you going to watch what the world is doing, or are you going to watch what God is doing? The wild animals in the fields will thank me. The jackals and the owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Folks, don't let the wild animals thank God when you're not thanking God. Yes, I'll make rivers in dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed. Are you preparing to be refreshed this year? Or have you sank your spirit already into depression about what all the news media are saying? Or are you refreshing yourself in the Holy Ghost? He says this, I've made Israel for myself. Israel is God's chosen people. We are God's chosen people. And they will someday honor me before the whole world. I don't know where you're at, but I'm prepared to honor God before the whole world. I want the whole world to know he's still got the world in his hands. I don't care how many presidents, prime ministers, how many are going up or down. My God has not changed his position. He's still God. But dear family of Jacob, you refuse to ask for my help. You've grown tired of me, O Israel. You've not brought me sheep or goats or burnt offering. You've not honored me with sacrifices, though I have not burdened and wearied you with the request for grain and offerings and frankincense. You've not brought me fragrant calamus or pleased me with the fat from the sacrifices. Instead, you have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your faults. Father, I pray, O God, that the sinfulness, O God, among Christians would end so that we don't burden you with our sins, but we bless you with our thanksgiving. I pray this for the entire body, both online and in-house, that we will stop burdening our God with our sins, and instead we will bless the Lord at all times, and your praise shall continually be in our lips. And then, verse 25, he says, I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again. Folks, do you realize the gift God has given us? Is there anyone here who has not sinned? As if you haven't. Remember, I do have an express pass for you. Let me slap you right to glory right now, because tomorrow you may mess up. But let me tell you, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But he says, if you will confess your sins, he will forgive your sins. He will not only forgive it, he will blot it out. And what does he say in Romans? Then don't go back and do it all over again. Can you purpose in 2025 not to keep doing it over and over again? Stop saying it's my character, it's my personality, it's my way, it's who I am. I don't know. Stop giving yourself excuses. Get in the Word of God. If you begin to read through the Word of God, it will cause you to be transformed by the power of the Spirit. Folks, not everyone's ready to get into vision or to activate vision. And at the end of this message, I'll share some who have and how powerful it is for the rest of us. But both online followers and in-house congregants, we must continue to build up this church so that we will always intentionally build up our communities and cause our cities and our nation to know God is still the God over Canada. God keep our land glorious and free. That is a statement that was made by the forefathers, and now as it's been broken by many, it cannot be broken by the church. God keep our land glorious and free. That means the church must arise and declare God is God over Canada. And no matter how many enemies push back at this nation, God is still the God over our nation. We're a spiritual, prayerful nation. I'm ready for revival because I think we're hitting such a bottom that the Spirit of the Lord is going to wax mighty. That's why as a church, I'm going to lead this church to believe for revival, because revival means many, your sons and your daughters, as Isaiah 43 said, will be coming back to the Lord. Your neighbors and your co-workers will be running to ask you, how do you keep yourself in peace? And you'll say, I'll keep my mind in perfect peace because it stayed upon the Lord. In this 2025th year, let us be preparing in prayer to be powerful. Part of our rebuilding is our power of prayer. Are you hearing me? We're going to declare God's promises over our church and over our communities. His promises. He says, if the city prospers, we too prosper. We're going to declare God's promise. We're hearing so much mess going all around. The church does not cower to these things. That's when we say, devil, you are rampant, but we now are vigilant in the name of the Lord. We're going to declare God's word over our cities and our country. This country was built on the word of God. We're going to re-declare the word of God over this nation. And those of you that are watching from other countries, do the same for your country. We're hearing the chaos everywhere, but the word of the Lord still stands forever. We're going to declare God's name over this apostate and irreligious country, this nation and generations that want nothing to do with God. This is not new to God. We've seen the cycle of sin and servitude over and over again. Oh yes, this young generation don't want God. That is only for a season, because there comes a time, doesn't matter who you are, there is no atheist in a foxhole. When the chips are all laid down, they're going to ask us, the church, is God still at work? And we better be knowing that God is still moving. Are you with me this year? We're going to declare God's power over our own lives. We've been going through the book of Nehemiah, and I'm going to take some excerpts from it today. Nehemiah began by saying, great and awesome God. We're going to declare God's power over our own lives. Every step you take, every move you make, every work you go to, every house you look at, everything you do with your kids, every time you drop them off at school, every time you put them on the bus, great and awesome God, protect them. Great and awesome God, heal. Great and awesome God, deliver. Great and awesome God, provide. Nehemiah, when he saw that Jerusalem was in ruin, he says, great and awesome God, let me cry out to you. We got to get ready to declare great and awesome God. If we can't see him as great and awesome, we don't know how to pray in power, how to stand on his promise, how to declare his word, and how to let his name be magnified. Yes, they're using his name as a curse word, but I'll tell you the reason they're trying to do that is to see if we would be discouraged. Every time I hear someone call the name of Jesus in vain, if I'm not in their relationship, I say it under my breath, God, show up and show them your name. And if they're in my relationship and they call Jesus' name in vain, I said, oh, you just called on him. Do you want me to ask him to act? They get frightened. Because they're just trying to tear down the name of Jesus, so we become desensitized. But every time you hear somebody swear the name of Jesus, you just pray, God, show up. They just called you. Turn it around and stop living in fear. The church is in too much fear. Turn it around. You want to call on my God? Well, I'm going to support you in the name of Jesus, Father. Show up and let them see what the name of Jesus does. He will heal and he will deliver. He will set them free. We're going to continue to build up our nation through prayer. Why? Because God will use ordinary, humble, seeking people to bring spiritual change in a physically impoverished land. Do you know? I don't know if you're excited. I know some of you are fearful. And I know we should try to be fearful because everybody says we should be fearful. I'm not fearful. I'm excited because we have gone too far. And God has to bring it back around. There are going to be people saying, how come the nation's gone like this? How come this is happening? How come the killing? How come? And you'll say, because we went too far. How are we going to come back? The church is going to come back to realize he uses ordinary people and he's going to do extraordinary work. You better get ready to be one of God's miracle working agents out there, and don't just go out there going, not me, God. Poor me, not me, God. I'm so shy. I don't know the word like Pastor. Well, then read it through. I can't pray like others and come up to prayer. We cannot be the church representing Christ and live in this detrimental time and not show up to be God's ambassadors. Wherever you are going to be a vessel used by God, young and old. Young people, oh, I'm millennial and I'm Gen X and I don't care what generation you are. God has not changed over any generation. You know, I don't care how, this generation, they're so this and they're so that. Who y'all think you are? We are all made the same way, flesh and blood, breath put in our bodies. Yesterday I was at our beloved pastor's funeral, Pastor Dawson. What an incredible homegoing for those who've served God faithfully. It was an incredible service. I mean, it was joyful. It was exuberant. It was telling. It was resetting. You know why? Because Pastor Dawson lived to serve God wholeheartedly. Not because he was a pastor, but because he was a person. There were people who showed up from when he was in college or in university for his football team, not serving God, but they showed up to tell the story of how he led their lives so that even when they were sick later in life, he's the one they called on. Folks, it's living out your life in real time at all times. On Christmas Eve, he preached at Queensway, Church on the Queensway, Jesus at the center of it all. Go online and look it up. Christmas Eve service, Pastor Dawson Phillip preached, Jesus at the center of it all. And he reminded everyone, if Jesus isn't at the center, you're going through the wrong doors. Boxing Day, he didn't wake up out of his sleep because he went through the right door. And his song, as they sang it again, Jesus at the center of it all, it reset every one of us. That was like a pastor's reunion service yesterday, but I'll tell you, every one of us were sobered before God because we realized in this hour, we don't have time to figure out who we think we are. We're all called by God to be in service to him. Folks, sinfulness breaks down a nation and renders it helpless. But Isaiah 43:22 says, but dear family of Jacob, you refuse to ask for my help. You have grown tired of me. I want to tell, have you grown tired of the Lord? Online, let me speak to you. Are you tired of the Lord? Because many of you who have an option to come together and worship, you've chosen now for over 4 years not to come back together to build up the body of Christ. And if your story is, I don't do in-house anymore, I rebuke you in Jesus' name, because you did not live 4 years without going to some supermarket, some gas station, some workplace. You did not deny yourself every other privilege. Why have you denied yourself the privilege of coming together to build up the body of Christ? And those of our online congregations from around the world, we bless you, and wherever your church is, be faithful to building up the kingdom of God, because the world is stripping us and the next generation are starting to not want to be in because we taught them as adults they don't need to. And then when we'll look at what chaos has come, we'll say, what happened? The Lord says, you refuse to ask for my help, and I want you to do this, folks. Lord, we really need your help now. We need your help more than ever. Would you just say, would you talk to him right now? Say, God, we need your help now more than ever. Would somebody say it? Just tell, God, we need your help now more than ever. God, Isaiah, the prophet, declared that we won't even call out for help. But this morning, as a congregation, both in-house and online, we say, God, we need your help. Forgive us, oh God, for pretending that we can get everything we want from the external. Because, God, money is a commodity that dries up immediately, but the blessings of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. So God, bring us back. We really need your help now more than ever. And even while people are comfortable with the status quo, you cannot be satisfied with it. The decline in the church and the spiritual condition of the church affects everyone and everything. So we must have a vision for the church of tomorrow, for the future. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly places." Who are we fighting against? Wicked spirits in the heavenly places, evil rulers, and even evil rulers in the unseen world. Don't even fight amongst each other anymore. Get over it. Oh, this one, get over it. Get over it. Oh, I don't like, get over it. Our enemy is fiercer than what we are looking at. Get the way that we're going to become strong. We're going to galvanize ourselves as the church, not just as Pickering, but all the churches. We've got to galvanize ourselves and show ourselves strong in the name of the Lord. Do you know, I've got to say this because I've been praying it, so forgive me, you know I throw these ones in. Thank God I was called to be a preacher, not a politician. But I have to say this. Canada has never really had anything that has galvanized our nation. Yes? We've never had wars. We've never had anything that's galvanized our nation, pull us together. But I think we're about to see something. And I pray that rather than people running off in different corners, I was saying this to the Lord. I got to share it with you. I was saying, God, when you think about Canada, we as a nation, we are a collection of peoples from around the world who've been able to keep their identity, and yet we are one. If we would pull that together and show our strength, I was even thinking, I was even thinking, in this country, we even have rednecks. And you know what? Rednecks are important because there's rednecks in the other nation that they will be able to tell them, back up, we're coming together even with the people we don't like. We have people from every nation under the sun. Whether you come from an African nation where you learned how to pray all night, it's time to make it your Canadian thing. If you come from the islands where your mama taught you to pray, it's time to pull it. If you come from Europe where you know how to stand in the power and the strength and in the word, then it's time to pull it in. Imagine if all of our nations pulled together what our strengths are, how strong we will be as a nation. Rather than this one, we hate this one, we don't like that one, everyone comes with something to the table. I pray first we begin it, let's prove it in the church. And when we prove it in the church, then the world will ask us, how do you do it? Somebody say amen this morning. Oh, some of you shut down because I said redneck. You talk about it at home, so let's talk about it in church. Come on now. We're going to have to learn to love each other and forgive each other so that we build a strong nation. We are more effective when each one of us does something to enact change. We are more effective. God has the power to bring change, but change requires something of each and every one of us. Can I say yes? Would you tweet that? I'm still so stuck in that old word. Dear Lord, cleanse and heal me and deliver me from it, because we don't even believe in that X. That X is X. God, would you X it out of our mind that nobody even remembers it? So maybe that's why I need to just declare it. Let's get X out of our mind. What was it that I'm supposed to say, young people? What do we do again? Say it loud. Instagram it, or what's the other thing? No, Facebook is for old people. What was it? Put that on your... Put that on your storyline. There you go. Would we all of us at a certain age, 39 plus, would you learn the new statement? Put it on your storybook. God has the power to bring change, but change requires something of every one of us. That's the story right there. Folks, we're going to become vigilant in this 2025 year with our relationship in Christ. We're going to become desperate. We won't compromise. We are going to stand strong. Our hunger for God must be seen. Our cry for revival must be heard. And our stance in the Lord and in His word must be our priority. I don't care who you are this morning. You got to get into the word. The church became weakened when people felt reading the word of God was optional. Reading the word is not optional. The word and the Lord are one. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. Don't tell me you're a Christian, but you don't have to read through the Bible. Come, let me slap you now. Come, please. It will help all of us. And if you get upset, someone online is going, oh my, she used the word slap. Yeah, that's the problem. We stopped using it. That has been, somebody help me this morning. It's a gift God gave me, the spirit of slap. I would like to exercise it without restraint. And those that get offended, then I could ask God, Father, not one. Let me give a double portion. In the name of Jesus. We are called to this journey with God, and we're appointed, we're all appointed to serve God. When you read today's first opening passage, Romans 1 and 2, Paul, an apostle of God, called by him to be serving him. If you don't know who you are, let me tell you this morning, you're called by God to serve God. That's what we do. That's who we are. That's what makes us Christian. If you've not given your heart to the Lord, you can do that today and be baptized in water in time to come as you see what's going to happen. Let me hasten. Nehemiah chapter 2, as we've been going through, shows us our work ethics must make room for us. And Nehemiah's work ethics made room for him before a king. The church must lead the communities into the future without them mistrusting our good and our godly intentions. I don't care who you are, where you're working, your work ethics must make room for you. We become a slothful people that are doing what others are doing. Well, they're all getting away with it. They're all doing this. I don't care what everybody else is doing. We're a cut above. We're at a higher level. We demonstrate that God will take care of us. So our work ethics must show our godly intention. Nehemiah says this is what it takes. When we walk about, we begin to call on God, and we are called to this privilege of prayer, and we can all pray. We can all pray for something. Oh, I don't know how to pray. Stop it. You have a mouth and you've been using it. Use it to pray to God. Nehemiah 1 that we read, it showed us how to pray for a burden. Prayers of invocation, calling on God with a pure heart. Prayers of petition, making all of our requests known to God. Prayers of supplication, appealing to God for mercies. And prayers of intercession, standing in the gap for others. This week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we'll be having fasting and prayer. And as you come, you grow in prayer. You come each night. Purpose in this week of January, I'm going to be committed to prayer. I'm not going to say those people can pray. I'm going to come and learn to pray. That's how I learned to pray as a teenager. I showed up at prayer meeting even when I was a businesswoman in Air Canada. I didn't let Air Canada take all my time. They knew I will work 12 and 14 hour days, but on Wednesday nights I leave to go to prayer meeting. So they began to ask me to pray for them every time. There were workers who would cover for me if we were on a project because they're like, she got to go to her church thing because they wanted a little covering. We're going to have to rebuild our lives and our church and our communities and our workplaces together and do it in faith as we seek God's favor. And as we put purposefully put vision into action, we're going to strengthen other people because we're strengthened ourselves. We're going to fight against our perceived weaknesses. Oh, I've got some weaknesses. In Him you will find strength. Make your weakness. Bring it to God. What does He say? He says, when you are weak, then you are strong. Because when you feel strong, you think you're God. I don't need God. We got everything. In your weakness, you will find your power in God. See, God will move. We said He moves mountains. He will move. And He moves with little faith. Jesus intentionally always asked the people He was about to help, do you want me to help you? It was a blind man. The man says, Jesus, Son of David. He goes, what do you want? Oh, Jesus, come on, I'm blind. He goes, yeah, but declare it. It's time for you to step up and declare to God what you're looking for and trust in faith he will do it. When working for the Lord, we must always position our hearts and our minds fully in faith and not become afraid of the enemy's tactics. The enemy is weak and feeble. Do you know why he pushes you so hard? Because he's weak. If we look around our surroundings, we'll see he's just trying to make everyone nervous. I'm going to tell you, Pickering Pentecostal Church, an online worldwide congregation, we're not going to go nervous. We're going to go strong. We're not going to go weak. We're going to stand in his strength. When I am weak, he is strong. Would you tell yourself that? When I am weak. Say it now. When I am weak, he is strong. Folks, God delights in taking the foolish things to confuse those who think they are wise. And you need to remember that. So when the devil, the consistent liar, comes, do not allow his negativity to get into you. But just quote back the word of God to him. And don't allow discouragers to discourage you. Do you know what's funny? I'm preaching this great message, and I can guarantee you somebody has some negative comment to make. And I have one word back for you. Keep it. Because we are going to go strong. We spend too much time nitpicking at things that the devil is showing us rather than picking at the things that, what powers and principalities tear them down. And lastly, I want to say to everyone here, do not give up on your commitment to Christ for anyone. There's a lot of online stuff. There's a lot of people are watching people on YouTube and watching different big ministers, and this one's falling. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. So when you see God beginning to judge, don't you fall apart with it. Just say, Jesus, help me to get back on the right path. Stop following people so they can make you fall apart. That's another big trick of the enemy. We're going to watch a slew of young people walk away from God telling us about how this one fell and that one fell. My eyes was never on that one. My eyes was on the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I shared in one of the Nehemiah messages, Nehemiah chapter 4, if you're going to overcome the tactics of the enemy, have godly strategies. One, stand your ground. Get into a spiritual group, spiritual relationship. Get to know other people. I don't know anybody. I'm surprised people could say to me, I've been here 5 years, 2 years, and I don't know anybody. No, you chose not to know anyone because you want everyone to come to you. You go to somebody. We're all born the same way. We came out of a womb. Why do you think you're so special? Everybody should come to you. Go to somebody. Number two, only fear God. A holy fear of God is good fear. We've been fearing people. Oh, what if this happens? Folks, listen, it's gonna get heavy in the years to come. So if you're fearing people, you're going to live in such fear, you're going to die of fear. But if you have a holy fear of God, they're going to fear you. I'm preparing myself. God, I know I'm going to speak about some things from this pulpit that's going to make some people tremble. And then people at church are going to go, Pastor, don't say those things. You know, we got to fear what they can do to us. No, they better fear what my God can do to them. Are you with me this morning? Number three, know God's word. Know God's word. I don't know if you've counted, but probably 4 or 5 times now. If I didn't say it 4, I need to get to at least 7. Read through the Bible and grow. If you're not reading through the Bible, you're like a fish outside of water is a dead fish. A Christian outside of the Word of God is a dead Christian. Trust God's power. God has never and will never fail us. Right? Has he failed you yet? Never. So trust God's power. Isaiah 43:19, I'll make a pathway through the wilderness and I will create rivers in the dry land. Trust God's goodness. I read this one when I preached Nehemiah 4, Psalm 84:11. For the Lord our God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. Don't you love it? Don't you love it? Praise God. Online, worldwide congregation, There's going to be some treacherous things this year, but the Lord our God is still God. He will make a pathway in the midst of it all. So folks, I bless you today. I bless you today. I want to share at this time, both to online and in-house, I'm declaring this as Vision Month. The Bible says without a vision, people perish. Proverbs 29:18, it reads this way, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Where there is no revelation, no vision. And so as we rebuild January, we're going to be continuing in Nehemiah. We're going to be rebuilding truth. Only the word of God is truth. We're going to rebuild faithfulness in February. You're everyone. Step up and do something. Build yourself in something. Embrace something. It'll be cold here in Canada, but it'll be warm in your spirit. March, we're going to rebuild spiritual structure, worship, prayer, share God's word. In April, we're going to rebuild godly commitment as we invest in the kingdom of God. As we go to the arena for our Easter service, we want all of Durham to come. I want to pack out the arena so much that there's cars lined up down the driveway. I want the casino people to run out of the casino because we're going to take over that casino one day in Jesus' name. In May, we're going to rebuild kingdom devotion. And in June, we're going to rebuild for revival. That's the structure of the messages to come. Don't miss any. Don't become a 1 in 4 Christian, a 1 in 4 service. You don't go to, what is this 1 in 4, 2 in 4? I'm so thankful to be alive. I want to praise God all the time. So Vision Month in January, the Word, we're going to read through it. Worship. We're going to commit to true, heartfelt worship with gratitude, which means we're going to show up on time to worship the Lord. It's not a joke because we are destroying the next generation. We are destroying the next generation, letting them think worship is not important. That's the devil's tool because they line up a day before to go to Mariah Carey's or what's her name? It's Taylor Swift. They pay mortgage money and line up a day in advance to go to lyrics that she wrote, and we won't show up and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, Pastor, don't be talking about lateness. In the name of Jesus, you're destroying a generation, and I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Thank you, somebody. Prayer. We're going to be vigilant one for another and for our nation. Commitment. We're going to do our part to spiritually advance this church, not just in Pickering, but all of Durham. We're going to take Durham for Jesus. And community, we're going to involve other people into our journey. We're going to see others. So purposefully put vision into action and let's do it together. Amen? I have 7 minutes before we close. And this is what I want to do today. I want to begin by thanking some visionaries who took the time, the effort, the energy, and made the commitment for all of these years. And I want to honor them despite what anyone may feel. Oh, Pastor, you can't honor some and not others. Oh, yes, we can. The Bible tells me honor those who should be honored. Pickering Pentecostal Church was located at 755 Oklahoma Drive in Pickering. In 2001, the church moved to their new location, 1920 Bailey Street, which is where we're at. The voting membership roster was 171 voting members at the old church. The number of individuals who moved from Oklahoma to 1920 Bailey in 2001 was 171, and there were 174 non-voting people. About 345 individuals were in the church at that time. We're averaging over 700 plus, and then most of them are online. We can't count them because we don't know how faithful you are or not. God bless you, but we thank you for being a part of the service. Would somebody just pray for me? In the year 2000, the vision of our dear departed Harold Reed, the pastor at that time, was, we can't stay this way. We got to take Pickering. We must move. And that 171 voted to borrow $2.8 million to purchase this property and then to renovate it to become the church you are now sitting in. 171 people for 25 years. Many have been faithful. Others have joined in. But I'd like you to give me a few moments today, because of that 171, there's 118 still here, and for 25 years, they've been investing in this church. As I call your name, online cannot see you, but if you're here, I'd like you to stand. Cola Abrahams, Yemisei Abrahams, Joyce Alfonso, Winston Alfonso, Charmaine Alfred, Jean Barrett, Reggie Barrett, Bruce Bond, Darren Bond, Lena Bond, Patricia Bond. Just stand as I call your name if you're there. Thank you, Bruce and Lena. Patricia Bond, Lisa Brown, Milton Brown, Patsy Clark, Marlene Colfe, Jeff Crump, Jenny Crump, Colette Edwards, Louis Figuera, Carrie Figuera, David Ford, Esther Ford, Erna Francis, Pamela Grimes, Tarmo Harmalia, Soli Harmalian, Leela Herler, Sandy Henry, David Holbrook, Rachel Holbrook, Claudette Hunt, Diane Hunt, Roma Joshua, Roxanne Joshua, Paul Canchera, Sodi Canchera, Andrea Lee, Elaine Locke, Kamjaraj Madhu, Shante Madhu, Grace Marshall, Charlene McFarlane, Melanie McFarlane, Manita McIntosh, Angela McClendon, Derek McClendon, Bibi Mohaber, Jerry Mohaber, Ann Motu, Leonie Motu, Heather Morhorn, Zarita Morris, Jackie Mulcair, Lennox Mulcair, Indira Mungle, LaDonna Mungle, Cherry Mungle, Ralph Mungle, Zena Mungle. Lynette Newcastle, Carl Nichols, Heather Nichols, Donna Osborne, Donna, Robert Owens, Ruby Owens, Lucy Pantaleo, Giovanni Pantaleo, Linda Pritam, Dorothy Richardson, Gordon Robinson, Sylvia Robinson, Betty Rodell, Marlon Shaw, Brian Stutley, Cynthia Sutherland, Larry Thomas, Glenda Thomas, Lowell Thomas, Don Thompson, Diane Thompson, Derek Tucker, Laurel Tucker, Luke Tucker, Juette Vassell, Valerie Waldron, Lenore Warner, Yvonne Welcome, Michael White, Thelma Whitaker, Sheila Williams, and Carmen Wright. There will be some in the second service, as I'll read it again. But here's what happened. In Nehemiah chapter 3 and chapter 4, I read and preached how they listed the families and the work they had done and their families. Now, here are the 25 kids who are now adults who came over with them. Melissa D'Angelo, who was Melissa Owens then. Timothy Owens, and is Timothy here? Timothy and Misha Golan got engaged this week. Amaris Marshall, Nate Marshall, Alyssa Marshall, Samara Marshall, Nikita Henry, Stephen Henry, Elon Mohaber, Brittany Hunt, Brianna Hunt, Daniel Hunt, Tammy Clark, Laura Clark, Kadeem Tucker, Sharif Tucker, Rashid Tucker, Enola Abrahams, Tony Abrahams, Sonia Bond, Timothy Chen, Troy Crossfield, Nathaniel Jackson, Aaliyah Jackson, and Andrew Jackson. These folks for 25 years invested in this church so that all of us can be enjoying this church, and the future will see a greater church. I want you to give them a round of applause. Thank you for your commitment. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your steadfastness. Thank you for 25 years of investing and never giving up, so that you could see the fruits of your labor. Many are gone who didn't get to see even the future that we're going to see, but you stood steady. And to those who are not here, and we thank God for those who have gone on, but here's where my closing statement is. They did their part in 2025. In this vision month, get ready to do your part. Amen? Would you stand with me, worship team? Would you come? And Father, I thank you, O God, for the greatness of God upon our lives, the goodness of God in the land of the living. My God, you've been so faithful to us. Hitherto you have helped us. Now, Lord God, we decree that, oh God, we cannot make it without you. And we don't want to go up another mountain without you. We want, Lord God, you to be the center of it all. God, as they sang that song yesterday, it struck my spirit that we have moved to the left and to the right, up and down and around. But, oh God, we come back. We just want you to be the center of it all. So we covenant our lives before you. And we say, oh God, hear our humble cry. No, God, visit us. Let there be a visitation upon us. Not just upon us, but on the churches that preach Jesus Christ worldwide. Be upon them, oh God, with power and might. We will not stand in fear against the enemy, but we will remind the enemy, fear our God. And so we stand in faith. In Jesus' name.
If you enjoyed today's episode and feel called to support and give to PPC, you can head over to our website at ppclife.ca, where you can give, get involved, and find out more information about our church. We can't wait to hear from you. God bless.